episode 238 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate destination to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Some of the ones that got votes here, very interesting. I will say, I'm going to say this in advance, because a couple friends at the table have broadcast with good friend Tony Mazur. Good friend of Tony Mazur's also Bob Glassman. Tony Mazur casting the most reprehensible vote in the history of the Pantheon, bar none. You guys aren't remotely ready for this one.
Oh, no, Tony, what'd you do?
We'll start with another one that
I'm going to go out on a limb and just say, yay, go Tony, I'm voting for him.
We're going to start with another one that might have been jockeying for that were it not for for Tony. Bob, your vote was for the Holmes-Cooney fight of 1982.
Very self-serving vote. I was there in about the eighth or ninth row. The buildup was great.
Yeah.
It was great buildup to the fight, and the fight itself wasn't bad. For it could have been a lot more one-sided, but it was a great environment. I've never been or since been to a pro fight of that sort of magnitude, and the white versus black thing, everything that built up to it was great. And a great experience at Caesar's Palace, and self-serving vote.
The thing about that, it always in my mind served as sort of the prototype. I don't know if anybody ever saw this movie, a hugely underrated one. Anybody ever see? I think it was called The Great White Hype from like about '96, with Samuel L. Jackson, Jeffrey Goldblum, etc. It was a parody of a Don King type situation where they're finding this like contrived white guy. I think Peter Berg ended up being the dumb white guy fighter, who actually was a punk rock guy from Cleveland, Ohio, in the movie, which was kind of funny. But great fight. The vote that we got from Tony Mazur was for Ray Mancini versus Duck Koo Kim. And if you're asking yourself in your head, is that the fight? Yes, that's the fight. That's the very one right there. That's what he voted for the best fight of all time. So, I
can't comment on it because I didn't see it. I don't know that it wasn't the best fight of all time.
Okay, all right, okay. A little bit of context here. I guess I got to back up for you a little bit. That's the one where the Korean guy ended up dying after the fight. That's the most notable thing about this. Yes. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, yeah, that was... Yeah,
no,
that...
No, I don't think that that's the best fight of all
time. No, but that's, you know... For Tony, the good Jim Norton fan that he is, I'm sure Norton would be very proud of that one here. He would be very proud of that vote being cast. One vote for Liston Clay coming from you, Anthony. A nice historical perspective on that one there, certainly. And you talk about fights that helped, change history and usher in a new era. That might be the foremost example of a fight ever for something that did that. One vote for Nate Noy voted for Tyson Spinks, just because he said, as far as it's pure destruction, if you're just going to apply that as your standard.
Best 91 seconds of his life, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and Spinks is literally afraid and ready to cry in the ring. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and the next couple of ones, the only ones that got multiple votes, are all epics in the public mind here. These are all fights that we... have you know, kind of ingrained into culture over the last couple of decades. Two votes for the Rumble in the Jungle, and that one, it's unsurprising that that one got a couple of votes there. The one where Ali was able to win back the belt from Foreman and the great surprise there in Africa. Three votes for Hagler Hearns. If you're going to go just off of action, you know, that one is kind of hard to beat. It's kind of hard to have a sense of which one is going to do any better than that. Four votes for Thrilla in Manila as we get back to Ali. This time it ends up being with Joe Frazier and the third part of their epic trilogy. Vote that I have with a note from Raymond Smalley, who wanted it noted here, as close to death as I've ever been, quote unquote, and that's how the winner described it. So when you talk about epics like that, although again, maybe, you know, with a little bit of, you know, revisionist sense here, maybe kind of a little bit hard to watch in the sense of Ali's got like Parkinson's pretty bad, and you look at a lot of the shots that he took there and in the Rumble in the Jungle, and maybe it's a little hard to watch in that context, but as far as action at the time, certainly. I voted for one that came up just short. It was in the lead for a while. It was actually doing quite well. It was in the lead. I voted for Ali Frazier 1, the fight of the century in 1971. And that was one where, and I'm a little bit biased on that one because, I was barely old enough for it. I mean, just barely on this earth at that point in time. So no memories or anything. But on the night of the 40th anniversary of the fight, we had, unfortunately, a group we can't put together again at this point, Bert Sugar and Teddy Atlas on the show to talk about it. Bert Sugar, who was there, and to talk about all the color of it and the spectacle and something that has gone on to influence everything from the Super Bowl today to just about every other piece of, you know, modern sports presentation as far as a big-time kind of event. So for the historical thing, I think you really couldn't do any better than that. But people in the end going with the massive upset. And folks like Johnny ending up voting for the winner here in this one. And actually, let me just backpedal. Chris, you had, I didn't see this before, so you had Thrilla in Manila. So that was, you were one of the ones that cast votes for one that came up just short on that before we get to the winner.
I did. I just think it was, I've watched that fight actually a couple times. And it's the greatest fight I ever saw.
Well, when people talk about the greatest rivalry in boxing history and one of the greatest ones in sports history, think about this. You were one of four to vote for the Thrill in Manila. I was one of four to vote for the fight of the century. A combined eight votes for Ali Frazier if you take the two fights together.
And that's a good point. In some ways, that's, yeah. You, if you could combine them, you're right. That would be the best combination. Two gentlemen that didn't like each other and squared off again and again in epic format. Curious as to what the winner is. I think I know what the winner is.
Well, the winner is one that, and again, I go back to my own days down in Athens. I actually at WOUB, I was doing a radio show, a public radio show that night of the fight. There was an Ohio University hockey game, and I was along with a couple other folks anchoring the intermission show. And the talk turned to a fight that was going to be going on, an afterthought really, in Tokyo that night, Tyson and Douglas. And, of course, myself and the other two folks on the panel proceeded to ridicule the very notion that how is this? Didn't anybody watch the Tyson-Spinks fight? Come on. Why are we even wasting our time with this crap? Whatever.
We're all waiting for Tyson Holyfield.
Yeah.
This is just a speed bump on the way to the obvious big matchup.
Yeah. And I get home that night, and I turn on my scrambled HBO feed that I had there, and I hear Jim Lampley talking at the end here about one of the great upsets of all time. What the hell happened? Apparently, a lot of people are just taking the shock of this, one of the great shocks in sports history, and I have to think probably applying it as the criteria. I don't know, John, I'm sure you could fill us in a little bit more. You are one of the ones that voted for the winner in this one here. Tyson Douglas ends up winning with five votes.
Yeah, thought it was... kind of went for the shock value, really. Again, maybe we need to consider criteria because when you think about a boxing matchup rather than the actual single fight, it would be tough to argue with Ali Frazier. So, but, just thought that was an event in terms of, pretty much up to that point, people were just afraid to be in the ring with Tyson. But he was really one of the only guy that kind of stood up to him.
Yeah, and he did. And the funny thing is, and I've seen things in the years since, of if anybody remembers the wrestler Big Van Vader, a.k.a. Leon White, he's a guy who was in Japan on a wrestling tour. And he was sitting like down by ringside, the Tokyo Dome, also used for wrestling events there. And that he's always claimed subsequently that he heard something like, no, and that's when Tyson like went down. So this guy's always claimed Tyson took a dive, you know, for anybody that watched the fight.
I think if you watch the fight, it's pretty clear he got beat.
Yeah.
But, I think there's a lot to be said for the upset value of that fight, for sure. And the interesting thing is, it basically also just finished Mike Tyson's life.
Yeah.
I mean, his life spiraled downward, badly after that.
Well, and here's the thing, too, Chris. As somebody who was down there at the aforementioned Ohio University with me over some of the same period of time here, thinking back on that era, you're talking about this about, Tyson, Holyfield, whatever. I mean, yeah, it was supposed to happen. Tyson's rape conviction was the main thing that got in the way of that. But have you ever had the sense, as I did, that, like, we saw it, but we really didn't see it? It's not the same as it would have been in the early 90s. I mean, that's how I've looked at it. That, like, when both of these guys, I mean, Holyfield, I guess, was a little bit closer to his prime, and that's why he won. But I never really got the sense that we got to see what we were hoping to see back in the
early
90s.
No, we didn't see it at all because Tyson's life was a shambles when he finally got to finally fight.
Yeah.
Holyfield. He was clearly not in his prime. I don't think Holyfield was in his prime anymore either. I mean, we missed out. Had Tyson not lost to Douglas, I think we would have gotten, one of the greatest fights of all time.
Yeah.
That we would also potentially be voting on.
Right.
One that just never happened because Buster Douglas had other plans.
Right.
And Mike Tyson, by all accounts, didn't train. Got lazy, spent all his time watching, Japanese movies and, Godzilla movies and was running around Tokyo drinking and whoring and the rest is history. We never got the fight that could have been Ali Frazier-esque because then that would have then begat 2, 3. I mean, it could have been quite something. I mean, it just never happened.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And for anybody out there, and again, I count myself among one of the ones that can't quite let go on the whole Money May and Pac-Man thing. Again, something like that kind of shows that the window might have closed on that already, particularly when you look at Pac's last couple of fights. But in this one here, again, the vote ended up being for the big upset. So Tyson Douglas ends up being our final sports inductee for Pantheon 7, this one for the best boxing match.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.